Hey, everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by SoundCraft Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman from Toronto who is a multi-talented actor, athlete, dancer, bodybuilder, Reiki master, author, model, born in British Guyana and moved to Canada in 62. And he's also a scuba diver, entrepreneur, hair salon, owned hair salons and a hairstylist, motorcycle as well, too. Personal trainer, auto mechanic, forklift driver, bartender, windsurfing. Oh, the list goes on and on and on. But this guy is so multi-talented. We'll find out why in just a minute. He's got a loyal following on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and all the social media outfits out there. And also, his first release has a couple of books discussing his background and upbringing to an easy to understand story about basically bodybuilding, aging, weight, muscle, etc. If you want answers, this guy's got right here, and he is pure exotic muscle. Live, ladies and gentlemen, Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Toronto, Canada, the amazing multi-talented actor, athlete, dancer, bodybuilder, also the author of the book, The Fountain of Youth series, which is the body, the mind, and he's into exotic muscle. Ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Peter Rajaram. Peter, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here. Thank you.
What's great to have you on board as well. Peter is here. Multi-talented actor, athlete, dancer, bodybuilder, Reiki master, and more. You're born in British Guyana. You guys moved to Canada in 62. You're also a scuba diver, entrepreneur. You own hair salons. You're a hairstylist. And you own motorcycles, personal trainer, auto mechanic. And the list goes on and on and on. But you do have a loyal following on all the social platforms. And you also an author, mainly about the Fountain of Youth series. And basically, your background, upbringing, and basically easy to understand and how you got to be who you are. And before getting on with the exact muscle, Peter, right, tell us how you first got started.
How I got first started?
Yes. All the way back, Sherman, all the way back.
Oh, Lord.
or should we say a British guy in a Doctor Who? It's like, into the TARDIS, good doctor.
When it started way back when I was back in Guyana, when I was born in British Guyana. And it was a bit of a tough upbringing because we had a lot of we were under the British rule at the time. Mm. And then the governments were changing over as Guyana was being given back to itself. It's the British rule was over. And then the prime minister was being elected. Now, the country knew that this wasn't going to be good for the country. So a lot of us did fled Guyana and went to other different countries, Canada, US, England, so forth. So then my father packed up, came here by himself. And a year later, he sent for my mom and my sister, came here. And then when I came here, it was a different world because I come from it was almost like a third world country where it's hot all the time. And when we came here, it was like in middle of February, it was snow. I came in shorts. My dad was ready, was with winter coats and everything for us and gloves and mittens and hats. And he was ready for us. So we had no idea. I've never seen snow in my life. Didn't know what it was. A little bit of a rude awakening. So It was interesting. So I was roughly about 7 years old when I came. And I had to basically adapt very quickly to the new environment. I was 7 years old. So, you go to school, friends of friends, kids of kids, you didn't, think anything otherwise. Just, when you're in a different country, you're all of a sudden you're in a classroom full of all Caucasian kids and you're about the only brown child in there. So it was okay, but they were all great. They all treated me like, kids of kids, oh, hey, buddy, come on over, we're just all good friends. And they all treated me really well in school. You had the odd few here and there, but everybody was really good to me. And then as we grew and so forth, I had one point in time I was on a game show for TV and I wanted to go on, but my mom said, oh yeah. Okay. Well, let me talk to your father. And then on the way down, going down, I hear my dad saying, oh, he's stupid. He's going to make a fool of himself.
Blah, what? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like and he had what no game big... show was this, may I ask?
It was called I Bet. And it was
okay.
Yeah. It was an adult show, but they would have kids on every so often, right? Basically, what it was, you'd sit on a panel and you'd watch a television. And on the television, they show you like maybe a 10-second skit from a movie or something. Like say, like they'll have like a Western scene in a saloon, right? And then you'll have three contestants. Then Jim Perry was the gentleman that was the host there. And he said, he would ask, okay, he said, they would show the clip and they would say, okay, in that saloon, how many men were wearing hats? And then you had to guess the right answer. Then we went to the end. And I had no idea. I was so nervous. And then when I finished on the end, they told me I won. And
nice.
I was like, wow, I didn't even know where I was. I was just so nervous. And I remember what my father was saying. First prize was a 10-speed bicycle back then. So it was pretty good. And then on my way home, you know, my mom said, see, I told you. And then my father, you know, shook his head. So I thought the boy was stupid. I didn't know. You know, so this is
how often has he been around? That's the question. You like exactly. play like exactly. you know, are you smarter than a fifth grader nowadays?
Yeah. But this was kind of like the upbringing. My father was very back then a very strict upbringing in the family, very strict on everything. Back home, you know, as children, you know, we used to get the whipping, you know, and over here it's different story. And I had a bit of a stutter when I came over here, and then I kind of went away afterwards. But then the real turn took when I went through school. I, you know, learned to play an instrument and so forth. But then when I got to junior high, you know, I was going through instruments and, you know, learning to play. And it was kind of the fun part. But when I got to high school, my whole world changed. I said, you know what? I think I want to try some sports just off the top of my head. Then the first year I joined the gymnastics team. And a little that I know, that was going to be my foundation.
Really? Okay. So that was your foundation and you kind of built from there.
Yeah. Because then over the years, then I went on to join the track team, the volleyball team, and then the badminton team. So when I went to badminton, it gave me a lot of speed and agility, the gymnastics. And then when I went to go volleyball, to play volleyball, I had a lot of power in my legs for jumping and a lot of power in my arms for spiking or serving. And, by the time I was finished school, actually, I was a provincial ranked player. Like I was very good. Then on the track and field was really good. My last year of high school, I was doing the 110 meter hurdle. That was very interesting. I, about 3 weeks before playing, class basketball, one of my friends and I, we went for a jump shot, and he went up. I made the shot. He came down. I landed on his foot and rolled my ankle.
Ooh.
So I popped it, and it was black and blue and swollen. This was 3 weeks before my meet. I was like heartbroken. And then I was on crutches. And then I told my coach, I said, I'm still going to run. He laughed at me. And he said, no. This is, look at your ankle. There's no way you're on crutches, right? Track day came. And when track day came, I strapped my ankle up a tensor, went down, and I got my my jersey, my shorts, and I went down to the track. My coach, he looked at me and he just shook his head, and he's like, you know, well, what are you doing? So I had my friend pin the number on me, went off. There was like five of us. We were running, and this was at York University. They had a really fast track. It was rubberized, so we did the 110 meter hurdle. Then I started to, I was waiting for the countdown. Then the gun went off. I didn't even think. Then I started to run. And then for a brief period, I didn't feel any pain. There was no pain. I was just running. Then I cleared the first hurdle, second hurdle, third hurdle. And I couldn't believe this. I was actually catching up. And then I actually stayed even with all the guys. And then I ran and I ran. Then I didn't know like what came over me. And I, after the last hurdle, I just sprinted to the end. And then it was me and this other guy. We were like neck and neck. I leaned in and I took first place.
Nice.
Yeah. And we were walking backwards. And then he looked at me and he goes, you know what? I've never been beaten that close before. Because I was only a seasonal athlete. All these guys were all club members. They belonged to a club, and that's all they did all year long, right? They would train 365 days a year at like York University, right? So it was really, I was really happy and impressed to be beating a guy like that, you know, and these guys. And, you know, these guys were, I went on to, you know, the Ontario finals afterwards. And then after that, you know, sport after sport, so forth. And later on after, then I wound up getting married after high school. I met a girl. We settled down, had a couple of kids and so forth. And then after when I did, I said, you know what? I have my own money. I've always wanted to join a gym. Because my biggest thing back then that I saw when I saw Schwarzenegger and pumping iron. You know, so that was quite a turn on for me. I was like, oh, I wouldn't mind looking like that. And then I joined the gym and I worked out and so on. And then by the time I was 18 when I got married, actually. And by the time I was 19, 20, I did my first bodybuilding competition.
Oh, my goodness. And
So it was interesting. I placed third, so it wasn't bad. I was working out at Gold's Gym. They had Gold's Gym up here for a bit, and I trained there for a while. Then after, you know, later on, then I had different jobs and stuff. And then I wound up becoming a hairstylist, and then I stayed as a hairstylist. It was about like 10, 11 years. And then afterwards, I was working across the mall, and I met a guy, and he said, oh, you know, I recognize you. And I said, yeah, I used to work over this. Oh, yeah, I have a hair salon over there. Then he said, listen, I have a salon across the street if you want it. I had just recently got divorced at this point. I was about 27. And I went across. I had moved in with my parents. And then I wound up getting the salon. I had it. And I wound up actually being very successful. And I wound up with three of them after a period of time. It was very good. And then things happened with the staff. And I wound up having to declare bankruptcy. They, you know, stole clients and so on and stuff like that. But before I did, I don't know, I had this urge that came over me and I wanted to learn more. One of my biggest motto was to learn one new thing every day. And
interesting.
Yeah. And then by the time I finished there, I started doing some holistic practices. I took some holistic courses, Reiki, as you mentioned, reflexology, aromatherapy, so forth. And then after I got my motorcycle license, most people, obviously, they think I'm crazy because I'm the kind of a guy that I get my motorcycle license and then 2 months after I'm on the track racing the bike.
it probably beats running on a bad angle and beating all the veterans out there with you being seasonal.
Yes. But it was good. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it's when I got the bike, that was a lot of thrill. And then afterwards, after I lost the salon, then I wound up taking different jobs. And I got my bartending certification, did that for a few, then got my personal training certification because I was, you know, into bodybuilding. So actually that was really good for me because after I started personal training, it actually allowed me to compete in bodybuilding because I was in the industry. So I was able to train as much as I wanted to train. And I went up actually throughout the years of being a personal trainer, did quite a bit of competitions, and I won, you know, a good amount of trophies. I was really proud. I did like about 15 first place and, you know, about 15 like second place and thirds. And then it was really good. And then I did wind up making it to the nationals, and then I called it quits then. It was okay. I'm the kind of person that when I got to the certain point, I said, you know what? I think I did what I wanted to do, and I'm just going to move on from here. And we had this, I saw this one thing on TV, and these women were, they were calling for men. They wanted to do a calendar for a charity for Princess Margaret Hospital.
Oh, got it. Like with the models and everything like that.
Yeah,
I think that's what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did one for the women. Now they wanted to do one for the men. So we'd raise money for the hospital. So, but this one was because it was cancer and for cervical cancer, all the people who were related or knew someone who had cancer and so forth. So the calendar, it was really funny. You weren't like all supermodels on there. All the people were actually ranging from like 20 up to like 60 years old. So, and their motto was, we bear because we care.
Because you probably got all the attention that day too, or that month.
Yeah,
it's like, what month of day put you at? I'm just curious.
I was Mr. March. I was Mr.
March. Mr. March. Okay. All right. I guess it's like it's jumping in the spring. I could see why on that one. Now, did you choose that one? They just chose it for you. I was curious.
No, they just chose it. Well, we went to the photographer and she did the shoots, right? So I brought a motorcycle, and how it was you're fully nude except you're covered in your private parts. So I had a helmet covering over there, right? And that was my my Mr. Mart shot. And it was good. And then we did some signings, and we raised a good couple of $1,000 for the charity. So that was kind of fun. And it was interesting. I've never done it before.
That sounded like fun. I can imagine you doing a Dennis Rodman too. So
I don't know about Dennis Rodman. That guy is like off the wall.
Oh, I bet. But, Yeah. And of course, with you bodybuilding and everything like that. And how did you get to be Exotic Muscle? We'll find out just one minute with the amazing multi-talented Peter Rajaram. But first, listen to the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SoundCrab Studios. Visit online at soundcrabstudios.com for all your needs. Look at a professional website without breaking your budget. SonicWeb Studios is the answer. SonicWeb Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. It's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show. Get 20% off your first product. SonicWeb Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give an official shout-out to our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson-Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon, paperback, and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in 4 countries, 2 strangers, 1 target, where truth is illusion and those you love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback, and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson-Zia has garnered great reviews and evil love and endorsed by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassie, Forbes, Riley, and Manos. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson-Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on our 40 podcast platforms, heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, also Podbean, Pandora, Apple, Odyssey, plus BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and more. Make sure you take us with you on any mobile device. Carry The Mike Wagner Show with you. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once and Wrinkles. Also T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MeAndMolsonZia. Check it out today and support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We're here with the multi-talented Peter Rajaram from Toronto here on The Mike Wagner Show. Born in British Guyana and Kent, moved to Canada in 62. Multi-talented actor, athlete, dancer, bodybuilder, and more. And yes, you've got that exotic muscle. Before we continue, tell us more about your little project, the exotic muscle.
The last little bit, just before I, while I was doing the bodybuilding and the personal training, I was also taking dance lessons as well. I took salsa, and then I did also ballroom as well. Then met some people and so forth. And then I met one girl, and then we wound up competing together in Montreal, nice. Where she was from, and in a salsa competition. And then up here, my teacher, actually, my instructor, she was a Russian lady, but she was very, very good. Like she taught, like her daughter was like one of the world-ranked ballroom dancers.
Amazing. And, wow.
Yeah, she's very good. She's very good. And then she said, Peter, why don't you compete? I said, well, I just started. She goes, you already have the background for the salsa. She goes, go. Oh, I said, oh, my Lord. So she put me in a competition with one of her students, right? It was good. We placed third, but I had a lot of fun. I love both salsa and ballroom. And, you know, like everything else, again, I was learning something different, something new. And that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And certainly with that muscle as well too, that you went from you know, being on a motorcycle and you know, having fun with that, and then going on from motorcycles to exotic you know, muscle and everything. And of course, you seem to build your career more and more towards bodybuilding from right.
Yes, my bodybuilding was quite the interesting build for me, because it took up, I would say, most of my passion and most of my, I would say, a good chunk of my life that I was really enjoying, right, the most. Because while I was a personal trainer, the bodybuilding, I was able to compete and do what I really wanted to do the most. And you know, I've always admired physiques in myself and other people, mainly because when you see people do things like that, I know what it takes. the effort it takes, the time it takes, the food, the training, the dedication and the sacrifices, you know. So people just see you up on stage and then they say, wow, he or she looks amazing. But you don't know what goes into the background of the months and the, or the year of getting there, right? You know, like when you actually get there, it takes a year to get to that point. Like you say, okay, I'm competing next September. So January, I start my training. And I mean, it's always an ongoing thing, but you say, okay, I'm training now to get ready for it. So you're working out, putting on some muscle, then you're going to start your dieting process of where you're going to start dieting down. Because it's so funny, because in bodybuilding, you can nail it down to the day that when you're on stage, the hour, the minute you're on stage. So I'll train. And then it's okay, I have my show on Saturday, say like June 12th. Right. Mm-hmm. So what I will do is I will train and start dieting down. So by the time I'm on June 12th, when I'm on stage in the morning, at that minute, at that hour, my body is the fullest and the leanest at that exact point in time. Like you have it down to a science, to that precise.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that common among bodybuilders, or was it something that you came up with, or is that part of your DNA? I've never heard that before, being precise, hour, minute, second, and what you do. That was amazing.
It is pretty well indigenous to like all bodybuilders, because you have this time that you have to, this date you have to be on stage at 9 a.m. and then the evening show. So you know that this time here, when you start your countdown for your dieting, that you're leaning out. And of course, it takes years of knowing the foods you have to eat, how long it will take your body to get there, and what you have to do. Because when you're dieting, we do what's called carb loading on the end. Like you, for like 3-4 months, you deprive your body of carbohydrates and sugars and fats and so forth. And then the last 3-4 days, you do actually the opposite. You ram back in all the carbohydrates, sugars, and fats back into your body. So what happens is your body, as a male anyways, you'll start to fill back out on your muscles, the all the carbs and so forth doesn't have time to go storage as fat, because you've leaned it out so much. Your body says, no, the muscles need it. Goes back into the muscles and starts filling you back out again. Then you start to inflate a little bit. And then also too, while it does that, as you're filling out, it starts pulling out water from under your skin as well. So it dries you out. Yeah. It's a bit of a science when you get down to it. And then after a while, you do it off the top of your head, like you know exactly like what it takes and how your body reacts to it and what it needs.
Mm-hmm. And for you, what are some of the foods that you eat and you don't eat or try to avoid?
When dieting or regularly?
First dieting, and then when it comes to bodybuilding. So some people out there who are interested in bodybuilding, you like to find out, you know, what you can eat, what you can't eat, what's good for you or not good, avoiding everything like that.
Okay. I mean, depending on what you like, some people, they'll do bulking season to put on the mass before they compete. Some people will go crazy. I know some professional body do this. They'll get like really fat, like really overweight, right? And then lean it all down. That's really hard to do and not really good for your body. So I never did that as part of my regimen. What I would normally do is I would eat, you know, like meats, rice, potato, keep it clean, like no junk food, right? Keep it clean with like rice, potatoes, meats, chicken, beef, so forth. Orange juices, stay away from the sugars like pops and so forth, water, what I drink. Then after I've reached my peak of where I need to go, I say, okay, now I have to start leaning out. Then after I filled out, now you start to lean out. So now your food flips. So now for my regimen, and again, this works for my body. Everybody's different on what it works for food. So I would start off with, in the morning, I'd have oatmeal. Right. So I have oatmeal and I use like almond milk with it. And your meal regimens when you're dieting is every 2 hours, 5 meals a day. So I have
really. Like so you're eating like every 2 hours is like the I talking about like, you know, small meals, mid-sized, large, or do you like, you know, varying sizes like every 2 hours?
Well, you'll have like your three main meals, which would be larger ones, and your smaller ones are like snacks, right? But every time you eat something, what happens is your metabolism speeds up to burning calories, because every time you're doing something like digestion, it does take a lot of calories to digest, right? So you are speeding up your metabolism every time you eat. That's why you're doing an every 2 hour cycle. So like I'd have oatmeal in the morning, and then later on, about maybe 2 hours later, I snack on some almonds, right? Or some vegetables or so, both for the same family. Then at lunchtime, I'd have some chicken and some sweet potatoes. And then later on in the afternoon, I'd snack on something else again, like maybe some more almonds or some more vegetables again. And then after later on for dinner time, I may switch it up with some chicken again or some sweet potatoes, so forth. And then later on, I'd have like maybe a little bit of a light snack again. Again, like, you know, vegetables or some almonds again. So I keep it, and I sort of vary it on lean meats, you know, turkey, chicken, so forth, sweet potatoes. It's very good for you because it's low in glycemic level, so you're not really putting on a lot of sugar, but you have your carbohydrates for strength, for training, and throughout the day.
And speaking of strength training as well, too, it's like, what's a regimen that you normally do? Like, you know, 7 days, 5 days, 3 days, what you work on. Of course, you know, this gets people into a rhythm, a bodybuilding rhythm and everything like that. And, you know, what's your routine mainly?
Mine is I normally do a 5 to 6 day routine. So I would start off like, say, Monday. So I do what's called a 3 day split. So I do my chest and triceps and some shoulders on Monday. And then my Tuesday, I'm going to do back and some biceps. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to do legs. Then you come to on Thursday, I'll start all over again with chest and then back and then legs again. Because basically your upper body needs about 24 hours to recover, and your legs need 36 hours to recover. So you have ample time for muscle recovery.
Why the different lag time? Upper body 24 hours and legs 36. It's usually the equal. Why the 24 for the upper body and the legs 36?
The upper bodies are smaller muscle groups, and you don't use it as much. You do on an everyday basis, you know, doing, you know, lifting this, that, and so forth, small stuff. But on the legs, your legs you stand on, you walk on, and everything heavy, your legs is taking the brunt of it all the time. So the legs, the larger muscle groups, does take a longer time for recovery as opposed to the upper body. Yeah, much more. Yeah, if you overtrain the legs, you'll find you have a hard time growing them, and you'll wind up having a lot of problems with leg pains and so forth after.
That makes perfect sense. And of course, you know, you, besides bodybuilding, you've done some other things. Was it windsurfing, auto mechanic, forklift, and let's see, is there anything else that is missing here?
Well, at the beginning, for the period in the 2000s, I was an exotic dancer for a few. That was interesting, something I wanted to try. I tried it. It was good. It was fun. I didn't do it for too long, just like maybe a short burst. That was about it. We covered the bartending as well. Then just after, when I finished the calendar and stopped competing in bodybuilding, I met this girl and I fell in love. And then I kind of gave up everything then, and it worked out good timing, because then it allowed me to spend more time with her. And then also, that's when I started working at Home Depot, and I got my forklift license when I was at Home Depot. And I was working up here in Canada. I was working two jobs. I was doing the Home Depot and a company that's called LCBO, the Liquor Control Board of Ontario. Now, they are the largest purchaser of alcohol in the world.
Wow.
Because it's government owned, right? And they purchase like everything. You could buy beer, wines from any country could think of, scotch, whiskey, rye, vodka, you name it. And it was pretty interesting. I learned some really cool stuff there. Then after the, I did the forklift and the LCBO. I did work with my brother-in-law as well. He did roof work, roof repair. So I did some roofing, and sometimes I would work with his friend as well. He did brick work as well. So I did some work with him as well, doing brick work. And when I did the motorcycle, I just did some racing with that a while back. And that was it. And then now I'm at working at Mr. Lube, where I'm doing oil loop changes and some mechanical work over there as well.
That's interesting. And of course, for those listening, if you're in the Toronto area, where can we where they have you go to get service done? It, like seeing, you know, oil change, like, hey, where do I go and get this done by the wonderful Peter Rajaram?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're located over in Markham, Ontario, at 7709 Markham Road, Ontario. It's right south of 14th Avenue, right on Markham Road.
Okay. All right.
In Toronto.
And that's for those who are in Canada as well, or if you're traveling in Canada, it's like, hey, I need an oil change, you can check him out. Yeah. And now that he did all those things, being an actor, athlete, dancer, and more, most importantly, what we're talking about, you being an author as the Fountain of Youth. And what is that exactly? We'll find out with the amazing, multi-talented Peter Rajaram. You're listening to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by SoundCloud Studios, and brought to you by our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia Missing. We'll be back with the multi-talented Peter Rajaram after this timeout. We're back to the amazing Peter Rajaram here on the Mike Wagner Show. We talk about exotic muscle, being an actor, athlete, dancer, bodybuilder, and all kinds. And most importantly, you're also an author of the book, The Fountain of Youth series, which is The Body and the Mind. And tell us more about that and what inspired you to become an author.
I've thought about writing a book here and there. I never really thought I would. Believe it or not, in school, I was horrible. That was my worst subject, was English.
And, really?
It was, you know, it was, you know, and my thing was I was ADHD, but they never had it, you know, thought of back then, right? It wasn't a thing, right? But I was very hyper, I was very active, and I couldn't focus in class. So that was one of my main things. But afterwards, when I decided to write the book, when I met this girl that I dated, I fell in love with her. She said, listen, why don't you write a book? Like, you're very talented and you know all this stuff. Why don't you share your knowledge? And I said, yeah, okay. I never really thought about it. Then all of a sudden, then one day she goes, here's some material. This, she sent me a whole bunch of stuff. And I said, okay, so I'll get started. And I started to write. And then my first book, I got published back in 2008. It was called The Fountain of Youth, The Body. So it's the body, the mind, the soul. So the first one is on how to physically stay young, as for the body. Things you can do physically, you know, the usual, if you go through it, you'll see exercise, nutrition, sleep, so forth. And on the second one, I started to write actually back in 2012. And it's been a process since then, actually, and it's pretty well about finished now. And that's The Fountain of Youth, The Mind. This one actually will be really good. It's a really, really good book. And basically what we've talked about, it's this is a story about a little boy from Guyana that came to Canada. it's a biography, but it's told in a story form. So you're going to read it as a second person that's reading it, narrating the story. And basically it just takes you through, like, what we covered here now is just a brief, as opposed to what's in the book. It's like much, much more detail. And there's so much that I go through in there that I cover from top to bottom, from the time I came to Canada until this point right now, actually. And it's been very interesting. Yeah. And this is basically how the second book is, how to mentally stay young. And because as throughout my life, like everyone else, you have all your ups and downs, you know. My mom passed away, I got married, got divorced, kids, girlfriend, lost, wanted sports, lost the business. So up and down, how do you still keep yourself young on the inside when you have all these ups and downs? Basically, that's what the book is about, how you can still keep your mental faculty and stay young.
And how about sharing a few tips from the book?
Oh, okay. There's so many. But mentally staying young, I would say the number one, I know for me, throughout my whole life has been the gym. No matter what, the gym is always with me. I got divorced. I was still going to the gym. It kept me from losing it. I still stayed together. My mom passed away. Again, I still kept going to the gym, even though I didn't feel like it. Mentally, it still kept me there. And that was one of the main things that throughout my life that stays the most consistent, that kept me mentally young and kept me sane, so to speak. So that was one of the main ones. And then I would say another couple of items, I would say, have passion for life, which I do. That's why I do all these things. I have passion for life. You have to have a fire inside of you that never buy into what everybody tells you. When you get at this age, you're going to be old, you're going to be wrinkled, you're going to fall down, you're going to die, and then that's the end of your life. No, 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 no. That's not true. I'm living proof, and I have a passion since I was young. And I always followed my passion. Sometimes it gets me into trouble, but I follow my passion. I say, you know what? I think I'll get my motorcycle license. I went and I did it, and I felt happy for it. I didn't do it for as a career, but I did, and I can tuck that under my belt. And then, you know, I went and said, oh, well, I want to be a personal trainer. Okay, I tried that. But I followed my passion throughout life, you know, because how many of us at the end of the day, you know, you get, I mean, some of the younger people may not understand yet, but some of the older people will, when you get to like, you know, 40, 50, 60, and said, you know, I should have, and I didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now for me, I can actually say, wow, I think I did too much.
but it's never you know enough to do too much. I mean, it's limitless. Yeah. It's everything eternal, yeah. All that. And of course, you mentioned about the third book, The Soul, and maybe a bit about that.
Yeah. Now the last book, which is about the soul, is basically how to stay spiritually young inside here. Not saying religious, but on a spiritual note. And this covers for everybody across the board. On a spiritual note, just the best way to put it is one, be a good human being, you know, one mm-hmm. human being to another. You see someone that needs help, help them, right? If you have lots of times I didn't have as much money, I saw a guy down the street, he didn't have anything to eat. I said, listen, come into the coffee shop, let me buy you something, right? And, you know, I only had a few bucks, but hey, still, you're helping somebody. So reach out to your fellow human being and do all you can to be a good human being, whatever that may be for you. And in many senses, you know, that in being for the soul has many aspects of it to, you know, whether you believe in God, you believe in reincarnation or whatever it may be, you have some sort of a belief. But one of my favorite things is quantum physics, and it really shows you how much that they're actually combining the fine line between science, quantum physics, and religion. And they actually, one of my famous physicists, actually Greg Braden, and he actually showed this, how they actually showed an experiment they did, and they showed that there were numbers correlating to letters in the alphabet. Mm-hmm. And they were showing how in our DNA, it says, God, I am here within you. In our DNA, it's actually written. And it was really fantastic when I saw that. And, you know, again, this is going out into, you know, physics and spirituality combining into one. And I think it's just absolutely awesome. And I think one of the things about the soul as well is to reach out and learn about, you know, mankind has so much to offer. The universe has so much to offer. The more you learn, the more you know, the smaller you feel.
Mm.
And the less you think you know that you thought you knew.
Right. Right. That makes perfect sense. And where can we find all your books at? Where can we find you and everything you do? Where can we find your books and where can we find you at?
The first one, I'm not sure if it's still on, but that was by Eloquent Books. It was on Amazon. I'm not sure it's there right now. The second one, I'm hoping to have it published this year. I'm waiting to get, I have a lady that's actually going to help me to publish it. So once it comes back, comes on to being published, we can meet up back again and I can let you know where. But right now you can contact me. I'm on Facebook, Peter Rajaram. And that's PeterRajaram. And then I have my other one, which is actually, I just launched for my book. It's called The Fountain of Youth, Peter Rajaram. You can find me on there as well. I'm also on Instagram, Peter Rajaram as well. So yeah, you can find me in any one of those places. You can contact me, private message me, you know, request me as a friend. I'm always open to making new friends on there. So, you know, learning new things from new people. And I have learned quite a bit, and people have showed me quite a few, even on social media, which is quite interesting.
It makes you stop by in Toronto and get an oil change from Peter. That's the most important thing, guys. Definitely. Well, I'll have to take my car up there one day. We're here with the amazing multi-talented Peter Rajaram of Toronto with the Fountain of Youth series, Exotic Muscle of More, here on the Mike Wagner Show. And Peter, just a few more things. We definitely love having you back and keep us up to date with books and everything. What else can we expect from you in 2024 and beyond, Peter?
2024. Well, it's going to be an interesting year this year. I'm hoping to expand a little bit more in my learning, of course. Try a few more things, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get another motorcycle. I don't have any more, but I'm hoping to get another motorcycle again this year. And I may have a few things for you guys to show. I'm hoping this year, it's been a long time I've been single. Hopefully I'll have a note for you that I actually am starting back to date again. And
ladies, are you listening out there or watching? Are you paying attention?
Yes, I am. I am.
Well, I didn't hear any crickets on that one. I was trying to help you out, Peter. So
thank you very much. You did. I hope that worked.
Yeah.
I'm hoping sorry.
And certainly did too. And maybe some love notes or whatever it is. But of course, you know, it's got to be the proper one. So more course, on that, maybe about dating next time when you come the and one. Maybe Valentine's 25 or Christmas. That's something right. Like that.
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry, you're saying something else?
Oh, yeah, I was hoping to maybe get back into doing some martial arts. I used to do martial arts when I was a teenager. So this year I was hoping to maybe start back at some martial arts again. And I do play pool, and I do miss it. I wouldn't mind getting back into doing some more of that again and maybe compete or something. So that could be something for 2024. I might be able to let you know, and we can catch up again. I can let you know on an update.
Sounds good, Domino Fats. We'll talk more about that and everything. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
In my career for bodybuilding? Yes.
Or just anything in general?
Anything in general. Oh, gee whiz. My biggest influence, I would say, well, for bodybuilding or for a lot of things that's taught me quite a bit, I would say would be Schwarzenegger, for sure. my mom was a big influence for me. She taught me, as one of the stories I told you, she taught me a lot about kindness, faith, belief, understanding, and love. And one of my other ones, I would say, would be Albert Einstein. He had a lot of amazing quotes, and the man was just a genius. And like I said, I love the physics, and he was just amazing, and things he showed us. And still, I don't know the mathematics of it, but I am comprehending all the things that all the physicists are showing us right now. I think it's really amazing.
That has to be amazing. Love to learn from him. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Best advice I would give anyone would be to life isn't short, as they say. Your life can be as long as you would like it to be. So, and the best way to do that would be to live it to its fullest. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to what other people say. Well, you know, you have this, you should do that, you're going to get old. I would say don't listen to it. Just listen to your own heart. Feel inside, do what you feel is right. And if you feel young, be young.
I like that. That is really good. I like that, Peter. Once again, with the amazing multi-talent Peter Rajaram of Exotic Muscle and the Fountain of Youth series on the Mike Wagner Show. Peter, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Learned a lot from you. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Live have it back. And before we go, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase, check out your books, or simply just get a hold of you?
Yeah, as I said, mainly you can get a hold of me right now on Facebook at Peter Rajaram or the Fountain of Youth, and or also Peter Rajaram on Instagram as well. My website, I have peterrajaram.com, is going to be up, but it's not up and running at the moment. I'm just waiting for the book to be finished published, and then you'll be able to go on peterrajaram.com. So you're welcome to private message me if you're waiting to email me. You can email me at peterrajaram@gmail.com.
We will certainly do that as well. Once again, Peter, very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely amazing. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. We love to have you back. We wish you all the best. And Peter, you definitely have a great future, have you?
Thank you very much. So glad to be here. Thank you for having me.